They called us deplorables.
We're not gonna take it.
They shut down our country.
No, we ain't gonna take it.
They say our thoughts are disinformation. This is Our Response, The Rob Carson Show.
And by the grace of God, it is finally Friday. Hello and welcome to the show. Much on the plate today. Two special guests, actually. Peter Navarro is going to join us later in the show. He's going to be talking about Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon getting arrested in perp walk. They use real handcuffs on him, unlike AOC. She faked hers. We'll get into that. And by the way, I came up with a new expression. It's I Believe Steve. There you go. I Believe Steve. So anyway, that's coming up on the show. Also, Kay Smythe. She is a writer for the Daily Caller, a friend of the show, also a Brit expat who lives in California. And she's going to kind of give us some perspective from a British subject's perspective as to the passing of the Queen of England. And you know, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because I don't feel as though I am qualified historically to spend a lot of time on it today, because I feel like I'm not a royal subject, and I would rather leave it to those who were closer to it, people who are more historically balanced with regard to it. I am going to cover a little bit of it. And one of the reasons, and I'll just say right now, the thing that touched me yesterday, the thing that moved me yesterday, is that the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, first of all, she was in office for 70 years. She was in her position for 70 years. That's a lifetime for you and me through retirement. That's a lifetime. That's including your childhood. That's your adolescence, your working years, and your retirement years. That's the span of time that she was the Queen of England. And she was a remarkable historical figure, a giant. As far as history is concerned, one of the largest, the biggest passings probably since Ronald Reagan and John, I'm trying to believe. Yeah, Pope John Paul II, among others. So the thing that really hit me yesterday was that she was part of the last generation. My mother passed away a year and a half ago. My mother was 91. She would have been 93. So they were very close. The Queen was born in 1926. My mother was born in 1929. And they both come from a similar, well, certainly period in time, but also a similar definition of femininity and strength as a woman. And for some odd reason, in our country, and it's nonsense, and I believe we're finally turning a corner on it, some people in our country have tried to take the pride and the enormous speciality of being born a woman and staying a woman and being a strong woman and being different from men while still being ungodly strong, while still being able to lead and to teach us all something. And there was no, I'm a cisgendered queen, I'm a cisgendered mom, all this nonsense. There was nobody trying to, when Queen Elizabeth and my mother were born, they didn't think about men just suddenly barging into women's athletics and saying, I am now a woman, I'm going to compete you, and then just destroying young women's lives and careers. My mother was unabashedly feminine. She was never not proud to be a woman. And at the same time, none of the men in her life, including my father, including me, ever thought less of her because she was a woman. She had different roles in the family. She had different roles in everything. And she was brilliant. My mother was brilliant. And in her own way, Queen Elizabeth was brilliant as well. Oh, she came from a life of privilege. Well, you know, yeah, she was born into this. She was given no choice. She, when she was 25 years old, was ascended to the throne of the Queen of England, and where she remained for 70 years. Now, I want to ask you this question about being Queen Elizabeth, and I could care less about some of the royal children, particularly Harry and Meghan Markle, spoiled brats who, honestly, a kind of a reflection, I guess, a generational aspect to some degree But would you choose a life of wealth and privilege over not being able to ride a drive a car, over not being able to travel without being recognized, after not being able to be photographed without anywhere you go, where the death of your stepdaughter was a big scandal and splashed across the headlines, and the family's going through mourning with two young boys who lost their mother, and so what would you choose? Would you choose that life? Would it be that much, or would you rather just go home to your split level ranch built in 1987? And enjoy your life. And determine where you go. Determine where you go in your life and what you do in your life. Queen Elizabeth never got that opportunity. And it's not a pity party, don't get me wrong, but I'm just trying to put things in perspective here. We're all born into this life, and we are essentially, given no choice. He's going to make this about abortion. No, I'm not. It's just one of the things that happen when you're born is that soon thereafter you find out you're going to die, and you got to carry that with the rest of your life, and you have a self-determination. So, you are blessed by where you live and in what state you are in. Would you rather be living in the caste system of India, where your entire life you spend at a landfill digging for just enough to feed yourself and enough recycling to be able to, buy some food, buy some water, live in a box? Or would you be blessed to be born in the United States of America, or for that matter, Great Britain? Queen Elizabeth was given her lot in life at birth, and there was nothing she could do about it. That said, I believe that she led the country, albeit in a figurative fashion, with enormous dignity and grace. And she was influential. She was definitely influential, although if you see the direction of Great Britain with regard to wokeism and whatnot, I would assume that her influence with regard to culture began to wane, because they embrace the same idiocy that we have here. And then came Twitter. Twitter pulled a vile tweet by Carnegie Mellon's critical race theory professor, who said she hoped Queen had died an excruciating death. And it's funny, because yesterday when I started to see these trolls online talking about the awful, for instance, a New York Times op-ed, The Atlantic, among others, celebrated the death of Queen Elizabeth. Tarika Love, the senior newsletter writer for the New York Magazine since December, devoted his evening update dinner party to the death of the Queen. Love celebrated her death, describing someone who has been sucking up the Earth's resources for 96 years. This is all the nonsense. This is the result of CRT. This is the result of wokeism in higher education. That's where this comes from. That's where this hate comes from. And I thought immediately, oh, see, that's obviously the result of a CRT upbringing. And then I realized Carnegie Mellon's critical race theory professor, Uji Anya, wrote, "I heard the chief monarch of a thieving, raping, genocidal empire is finally dying. May her pain be excruciating." Who the bleep says that? Probably the same people who would say that somebody who raped and murdered a bunch of children, who went in to get their lethal injection, felt the stick of a needle and went, ouch, and thought that was the end of humanity. Hundreds of people had previously tried to get her fired from her teaching job as a violent racist word. She was called out online for using a word meaning cotton picker, and 800 people petitioned to have her removed. This is a sort of chip on your shoulder racism from the privileged class that you get from people like, Michelle Obama. Loved celebrating her death, describing someone who's been sucking up the Earth's resources. That's classic Green New Deal, Earth-worshipping, CRT, woke nonsense. I'm supposed to be quiet, or better yet, actually mourn what was a barely breathing, glad force flex trash bag? University of Michigan professor Ebony Elizabeth Thomas said thoughts of Diana and Meghan kept her from feeling any sadness about the monarch's death. Lindsay Boylan, a successful candidate for Manhattan Borough president, chimed in and intimated that her Irish grandparents would be pleased. This is where people live. They live on Twitter. They do this stuff. They're awful. It exposes the worst of the worst. And I remember when, and I've seen it countless times, when Ronald Reagan died, the same sort of trollish nonsense. The same thing when Rush Limbaugh died, the same sort of trollish nonsense. I don't usually see that from conservatives with regard to the death of a liberal. Not saying it doesn't happen, but honestly, can we just step back and be human? For God's sake. I want to, before we go to the first break, I want to play this wonderful piece of audio. I played it for my wife last night. This is a member of Queen Elizabeth's, presumably, security detail, talking about a story from Queen Elizabeth, the most famous woman in the world, arguably, in the last century, passing away. And I think it's pretty cool. And I will not interrupt it.
And normally, on these picnic sites, you meet nobody. But there was two hikers coming towards us, and the Queen...
She's approached by a couple of... I'm not going to interrupt anymore. She's approached by a couple of American tourists who don't recognize her. There you go.
They'd always stop and say hello. And it was two Americans on a walking holiday. And it was clear from the moment that we first stopped, they hadn't recognized the Queen, which is fine. And the American gentleman was telling the Queen where he came from, where they were going to next, and where they'd been to in Britain. And I could see it coming, and sure enough, he said to Her Majesty, and where do you live? And she said, well, I live in London, but I've got a holiday home just the other side of the hills. And he said, well, how often have you been coming up here? Oh, she said, I've been coming up here ever since I was a little girl, so over 80 years. And you could see the clogs thinking. He said, well, if you've been coming up here for 80 years, you must have met the Queen. Quick as a flash, says, well, I haven't, but Dick here meets her regularly. So the guy said to me, oh, you've met the Queen, what's she like? And because I was with her a long time and I knew I could pull a leg, I said, oh, she can be very cantankerous at times, but she's got a lovely sense of humour. Anyway, the next thing I knew, this guy comes around, puts his arm around my shoulder, and before I could see what was happening, he gets his camera, gives it to the Queen, and says, can you take a picture of the two of us? Anyway, we swapped places, and I took a picture of them with the Queen, and we never let on, and we waved goodbye. And then Her Majesty said to me, I'd love to be a fly on the wall when he shows us photographs to the friends in America, and hopefully someone tells him who I am.
That is fantastic. Guy doesn't recognize the Queen, says to the valise or whatever he is, hey, here, Queen, ma'am, can you take a picture of us? I want to get a picture. Hands the phone to the Queen of England, and she played along. Greatest Generation, Tom Brokaw, everybody knows. Called it the Greatest Generation. My mother was a part of it, and Queen Elizabeth was a part of it, and God save the Queen. God bless the Queen, and good luck to the new king, King Charles. So we're going to take a break, come back. I've got a lot of national news, economy news, FBI news, and your phone calls as well. Barbara, you'll be up first, 800-922-6680. This is the Rob Carson Show.
The mainstream media, big social media, and the Democrat Party say you spread disinformation. It means you know the truth.
The important is you said the truth.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is a Friday edition of the Rob Carson Show. So Joe Biden, here's the headline. What about inflation and recession, Joe? Biden takes a lap of honor as he releases a report praising himself for, quote, the strongest economic recovery in recent history, despite, the cost of living and the inflation and the open border and the school shutdowns and, the destruction of children's lives and, the whole FBI corruption thing and working with social media to shut down free free speech and everything. But a new 58-page report, the blueprint, timed with the president's travel to Battleground, Ohio, crediting the president with bold and decisive action while citing significant progress in taming inflation and passing a bill that has nothing to do with taming inflation, just hires 87,000 new IRS agents and then does a bunch of green energy crap. And by the way, take your EV and stick it. I'll just go ahead and say that. My new gas-powered Bronco is going to be built on the 26th of this month. I've waited 20 years to have a new car. The last, 19 years. I get my new Bronco. It's built in Chicago on September the 26th, and then hopefully delivered in time for my birthday. And that'll probably be one of the last cars I ever own, because I plan on keeping it for 20, 25 years. Because, you know, it's just my first new car, and I'm thrilled about it. So that's Joe Biden. He says that everything's coming up rosy and everything, even though 63% of small business owners are not hiring because they can't afford it. There is that. Oh, and let me tell you the secret to Joe Biden's enormous success as far as the economy is concerned. And let me use an analogy. Say, for instance, you have a business that is closed on Sunday, like Chick-fil-A. Will you? Let me put it into a story problem, like in elementary school. Joe, the evil Christian, owns a Chick-fil-A, and they close on Sundays because they're homophobic and they hate gay people. So Joe's business, that's awful, this Chick-fil-A. I'm doing it like they do it in school. I'm combining CRT with math. So I'm going to do that. Joe's Chick-fil-A closes on Sunday because his evil overlords are Bible-thumping gay haters in a country that was founded on slavery. Okay, so Joe opens up on Monday morning. How many sales would he have to have before his business increases 100% from the previous day? And the answer is one customer who'd spend anything is a 100% increase in the business that he had yesterday, which is a victory for Joe, but clearly a defeat for people of color. Yeah, I'm just, like I said, I was trying to make it, or gay people, or Kamala Harris, or just throw it in. So there you go. So if you just say, I don't know, maybe, because we've been controlling the narrative between Facebook and Twitter with Anthony Fauci, and their emails are being subpoenaed about that kept schools and businesses closed with fake science and did their level best to destroy Donald Trump, and then carried those same idiotic mandates into the new presidency to when finally businesses started to open after government mandates closed them down, then they could actually make money, you see. That's the brilliant scheme. That's the bravo. But everything else he's done has been a giant suck fest. If you open businesses, people will spend money there. If you have to close your business, you can't make any money, you see. Yeah, 63% of small businesses cannot afford to hire more staff, even when the new staff is needed. What's worth, 10% of small businesses say they are actually laying off workers. 6% from July. You know what, Joe? That doesn't sound like very good news to me. I don't know, man. It almost kind of sounds kind of like a guy who used to be in president in the 70s when gas was this high and inflation was this bad. Welcome back, Carter.
Welcome back to Jimmy Carter 2.0.
This is Jim Gossett.
Welcome back. He's the same bad prez, but his name is Joe. Well, the names have all changed since Jim was around.
He's the dear leader.
But the swamp that remains can't be turned around.
Drain it.
Joe's killing off the nation.
Killing off the nation.
Hello to stagflation.
Hello, stagflation.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, cause brain cells he ain't got. Welcome
dying
back.
Dying every day.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back,
welcome back. It cost an arm to fill your car.
And a leg.
Welcome back. Your paycheck's the same and it...
All right, so we've got much more on the show, including the majority of Americans who want Joe Biden impeached, despite his glorious, the dear leader's awesome plan for the economy. Also, Rand Paul sounds off on Anthony Fauci and the IRS. All of that's coming up with your phone calls, 800-922-6680. This, my friends, is a Friday edition of The Rob Carson Show. Don't go anywhere.
First year in office summed up in three words. Welcome back, Carter.
That's not right. It's not fair to us. And honestly, it's not fair to the world.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
When I talk about all the leftists who are celebrating the death of Queen Elizabeth because colonialism, which stopped when she became the monarch, essentially, I was thinking about who are these people? Why would they say such things? It's because that's what they exist on. They exist on hate and grievance. I like to say that there's a business in, you always hear big pharma, big oil and all this. There's a business called big offense. And this is in the United States of America where, we have the First Amendment. You should be really thrilled every time you're offended because you're able to be offended. Otherwise, you just hear the party line, and you've seen this played out again and again and again. But this is in real time that you can't say anything about COVID or you can't say anything about the 2020 election. It's disinformation or misinformation. And so they have twisted the First Amendment. They've whizzed on the First Amendment. And we're seeing this boat out in all sorts of degrees within our government. But when you look at, like, for instance, these people like the Carnegie Mellon University professor Uju Anya, who said that she thought the Queen was a wretched woman in the process of dying, and she said that maybe her pain may her pain be excruciating. And then these other morons who work for the New York Times and the Atlantic. These are the people right now that are in control of the insanity in the country. All right. So you wonder why Joe Biden is choosing to go the direction he is. And there's so much bet guano craziness going on. The war, CRT, the southern border, the attack on our history, tearing down statues, letting criminals go free, et cetera, et cetera. All of the madness that's going on, transgendered surgery, teaching kids sex at school, all of that madness is coming from these guys right here that I just talked about. And they're a very tiny percentage of the population, which means they can get their asses kicked too. All right. And that's what 70% of the American people on both sides of the political equation say is what is taking the country in the wrong direction. It's not Donald Trump, who was president 2 years ago. It's not the raid on Mar-a-Lago. It's none of that. And it also was before the speech that poll came out that said 70% of both parties think the country is going the wrong direction. That was before Joe Biden's the Republicans are Nazis speech in Philadelphia. So their time is nigh. This is the class of 1968, and you're not the class of 1968, and neither are most of your family, maybe also most of your friends, but it does exist, and they seem to be in control right now of both of the Democrat Party, both houses of Congress and the White House. So the president comes out and he's saying that his economic plan is really working for America, which is nonsense. It's classic Soviet era. Say the opposite. Say it enough. Have your water carriers in the mainstream media, big social media, either carry that story or shut the other side down when they say things like 63% of small businesses can't afford to hire more people. Alignable did the survey, by the way, states that labor is just one of several added costs, including rent increases, soaring inflation, rising energy prices that could jeopardize the solvency of many small businesses. Sadly, near half of all small business owners, 47%, reported in their survey that their business are at risk of closing by this fall unless economic conditions improve. Well, Joe Biden just said they're great, so end of discussion. If you honestly, seriously, after Joe Biden said that, you 47% who say that you're going to close your business in the fall unless economic conditions get better, you clearly didn't hear the president's speech. So it's your own fault. Beyond the skyrocketing price of labor, 23% of small business owners say that they have fully recovered financially from the worst years of COVID caused by the government. This 23% recovery rate is the lowest the Alignable Research Center has seen for more than a year. Looking at the August revenue, 50% of all small businesses generated half or less of their pre-COVID monthly earnings. So there you go. Oh, and average hourly wages have risen to $30 an hour, which is great if you're working, you know, like my wife at a realty company, but really, really bad for somebody who owns a McDonald's. Oh, and then this. Joe Biden's anti-MAGA speech backfired. Didn't go over very well. Although there was a poll yesterday that said, yeah, a lot of Americans agree that MAGA Republicans are evil. They do, yeah, they do. Now, according to the Trafalgar Group for the Convention of States Action, 56%, almost 57%, of likely voters considered the speech to be a dangerous escalation in rhetoric and is designed to incite conflict amongst Americans. Well, duh. And then there's this. Paul Bedard of the Washington Times. A majority of voters, including a third of Democrats, support efforts to impeach Joe Biden. Isn't that funny? The latest president to face the nation's hardest criticism in the new Rasmussen reports. 52 to 42% support impeachment. All parties. That includes 77% of Republicans, 50% of independents, 32% of Democrats. Rasmussen found that 47% believe it is likely the Republicans in the House will vote to impeach, and they should, versus 43% that don't. Third of Republicans said it is unlikely that the blah, 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 blah. People want him impeached because he's doing a miserable job, despite the dear leader coming out and saying, oh, everything's just coming up rosy. Did you notice this summer versus last summer, did you notice that nobody's asking what his favorite ice cream is? Remember that? They'd show up, oh, the president likes ice cream. Oh, look at Joe Biden. The dear leader is going to unveil his favorite ice cream so we can go to the store and we can buy his same ice cream. Oh, God praise. Oh, the dear leader, Joe Biden. They're not asking that question anymore. Hey, Joe. Hey, wow, the president likes to eat ice cream. He's just like us. Mr. President, what is your favorite ice cream? Oh my God, did he say chocolate chip? Oh my God, we must send out the word to the followers, to the loyal faithful. He likes chocolate. I heard him say it. It is written, it is so. Not asking that question anymore. It's kind of funny. Oh, and then one more economic thing you should know about. Were you dreaming about a new home? Were you thinking about buying a home in January? And you were thinking, hey, we've got just enough money right now, honey, because right now interest rates are only at 2.75%. We can do this. Oh, my God, this is fantastic. We can do it, and we've got student loans, and we can still do it. I know. Great. And then you look at the average rate on the 30-year fixed is 5.89. That's the average. That means that some people with lesser credit scores, 7, 8, that's what Freddie Mac says. The recent June peak marks the highest rate since 2008. I know this because we lost our rear ends on a home in Washington, D.C., where we had to pay. That was the last housing bubble, which was caused by this idiotic subprime loan thing debacle, which was essentially CRT or I guess to some degree, allowing people who couldn't afford homes into massive mortgages, which is a disservice. Affirmative action is the word I'm thinking of, the words I was thinking of. And you know, it does nobody any good if you are a member of a supposedly oppressed group. If you go to Freddie Mac and you say, hey, I'm a member of an oppressed group, and it would be racist not to give me a $600,000 mortgage, even though I'm only make 60 grand. But that's what they did. And it caused them, you know, the housing bubble. We paid like 45 grand over asking to get in our home, and we ended up getting in at like 6% interest in 2005. And then our house went down in value by $150,000, which meant that when that happens, in case you didn't know, if you go to refi and you want to get in at the lower rates that happened after the bubble, like 1%, 2%, you're screwed because you have no equity in your home, and you're going to end up paying 6, 7% for 30 years or until your home is no longer upside down. It's a major screwdriver. And here we go again. This is Welcome Back, Carter. Mortgage rates were 2.86% just a year ago, but because of ungodly, stupid, Carter-esque typical Democrat nonsense economics related to FDR, New Deal crap, which prolonged the Depression and didn't work. It created work. It didn't create job. It didn't create jobs. It just created work. Do you understand the difference? If I hire a kid to just mow my lawn and he gets done mowing my lawn, then the work is over and he doesn't have a job. You see. So when you build a highway and it's done, the work is done. All right, there you go. So when you just spend government money to hire people to do work, then they'll work for a while, and when the work's over, then you're done. Rather than giving businesses reasons to incentivize hiring, which clearly we don't have now. Let's go to Ron in Pittsburgh. Come on, I love Pittsburgh. Give me a Permane Brothers sandwich. Ron, welcome to the Rob Carson Show. How you doing, sir?
Good, thank you very much.
Yeah, what's up?
I was just calling. It came to my mind back in the early 70s. I knew a preacher friend of mine. He ran a girls' home, a girls' school down in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Yeah.
And his name was Les Roloff. He was an evangelist. He's passed on now.
Okay.
But he was one of the first ones to be jailed for refusing to take a license from the state.
Okay.
And one of his statements that came out there that sort of stuck in my mind is that, now keep in mind the time setting of this early 70s.
Sure.
He made the statement that America was fastly becoming an insane asylum run by the inmates.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I can't even imagine what he'd say today.
Well, Ron, I'm going to tell you, the insanity really is, and it's all been created. And I had mentioned this, and Joe Biden said it in his Philly speech where, you know, he called us fascists and all this. He said, something's wrong in America, something to that effect. And he's right. And it was all caused by the left. And he knows it, too. He just wants to pin it on us. All the badness in the country is because of the left. It is because of the class of 1968. And if you're down with a 12-year-old girl getting puberty blockers and having her breasts and ovaries removed, then you're freaking nuts. And if you do it as a doctor, you need to lose your license. And if you allow it as a hospital, you need to be shut down. And this includes some of the great hospitals that I've worked with in the past. They need to either figure this out, root it out, or get the hell out of the medical business. But you're right. This is insanity. And the day that we declare this normal, the country's over. But the great thing, Ron, 72% of Americans, both sides of the equation, say it is nuts. Go ahead.
Well, I went through this myself. I pastored the same church for 50 years.
Wow.
And I had a Christian school, and all of a sudden the state came down on me that I had to be licensed by them. I said, why should I be licensed by you? Your situation has failed since Fabian socialism took over in the 30s.
Yes.
You know, and yeah. I said, your system has failed. And I said, why do I have to go to you for permission to do what I think you failed to do?
Because they can issue some control over you. That's why. Ron, right. Just real quick, I got about 30 seconds. I would assume you had many success stories that you look back upon as you're in your position in academia, that people still write you, people still send you notes of their progress. Real quick, tell me about that.
Well, I don't know. You know, being a pastor of an independent Baptist church, you know, that's about one of the most unstable things it could possibly be, you know. But, you know, we've had a lot of success with our Christian school until we had to close it because of lack of participation.
Yeah, I got you.
I mean, we got airline pilots. We have doctors. People have doctor's degrees.
Yes, sir.
You know, it just goes on and on.
Yeah, Ron, but you know what? Here's a positive. A great awakening is happening, particularly with regard to public schools. That there are literally in L.A., there are private schools who cannot allow any more students because so many people are leaving public schools. Got to take a break, Ron. God bless you. Have a glorious weekend. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
If If you're looking for a woke take on current events, just go back to sleep, because you're not getting it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Come on, rev it up. Now. I love it. Hey, it's Friday on the Rob Carson Show. Didn't want to step on the bumper music there. That's my my bumper music. I selected it. It comes from my my workout playlist, actually, yeah, among other things. From the Babylon Bee, new headlines today. Stacey Abrams announces that with her a heavy heart, she will succeed Elizabeth II as queen. Another headline, Meghan Markle concerned queen's death may yank her from spotlight for a few days. Oh, and then this one, not related. Gavin Newsom now running ads in Florida and other states where people can still turn on their TVs. That's pretty good. My friend Jim Gossett, who does, we work together and we create these parodies for the show. And we have a new one about Joe Manchin. We're going to debut at the top of the next hour that I think you're going to enjoy. He occasionally calls into several shows and he does this thing called the Newsmaker line and he does his brilliant impressions. And he did an impression this morning with another radio host where he called in as Al Sharpton about the passing of the Queen.
Well, when he heard the Queen died, he said, "I just saw Mayor Pete this morning. He seemed fine." AOC mourned the death of the Queen. Mm-hmm. She said, "I loved her on The Equalizer. I thought she was great."
Queen Latifah.
What? No, that's not.
Last night, in honor of Queen Elizabeth, Stephen Colbert asked for a moment of silence. And to assure a moment of silence, he told a joke.
Okay, there you go. Ba-doom-chi.
Show sucks. I'm happy for Sir Charles Barkley becoming King Charles, but will he still be on Inside the NBA side?
No, wait, that's no, it's no. Prince Charles. It's not Sir Charles.
Yeah. Oh. There you go.
Prince Charles? Well, how the hell are they going to get them ears on a stamp? I want to know that, man.
This is Jim Gossett. Joe Biden this morning, by the way, expressed his confused condolences. He said, what am I going to listen to now on my cassette Walkman when I go for walks? I love that band. And then he also found out, no. The prince will now become the king. And Joe Biden said, I thought he died in Minneapolis. So a little confusion there. Let's go to Michelle in Baltimore on this lovely Friday. Hello, Michelle, and welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's on your mind today?
Thank you. I have to tell you, it's not easy to follow that that bit that you just played about these people who don't quite get it. But yes. I wanted to offer you two different takes on ideas that have been bandied about. One is about the swamp, draining the swamp. And it strikes me it's not just that Mr. Trump has to drain the swamp, but it's also the other side of it, and that is the government, as it exists right now, they want to drain the middle class, and that's what they've been working on, draining all of us, middle class, from our money, our jobs, possibilities of improving ourselves, our kids getting educated. They're trying to drain us, and with these 87,000 IRS agents, that's what they're going to do.
So Michelle, I tell you about how the Biden administration suffers indignities upon us, and his latest is touting that the economy is so wonderful.
Yeah, so that's item one. Item two is
real quick
the new Green Deal, and that it's actually the other way around. Namely, if you know every single person that the Biden administration has hired or put into place. They're what they used to call greeners. Like a new person come into the country, they'd call him a greener because he didn't know how things work. Yeah. These are all ignorant people who are academics who know nothing about real life, have never had a job. That's the Green New Deal, and we're the ones who are getting stuck with it.
Exactly. Well, and I told you this. The Biden administration is populated entirely by academics and bureaucrats. That's what it is. And this was bowed out, I think, at 70% of the people in Biden's cabinet have had no real experience running a company or whatnot. And you know, this is all coming to an end, Michelle. We just have to be strong, and we have to suffer their slings and arrows. We're going to win together, and that includes Democrats and Republicans. That includes conservatives and liberals. It does not include the left. It does not include Barack Obama. It does not include the Green New Deal dipwads who, by the way, and it's falling apart around the world. It's just, we're just late comers to it. We got to take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show. Hey guys, it's Carson. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending on crazy, increasing crime, indoctrination of our kids, inflation, the list goes on and on. There is something you can do now. buy from companies that believe what you believe. We need to stick together now more than ever, and there has been one company willing to fight for our God-given values since 2012. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer dependable nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as all the major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, your constitutional rights, sanctity of life, and our veteran and first responder heroes. Go to patriotmobile.com/Carson or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation with the offer code Carson. They offer special discounts for veterans and first responders and for multi-line discounts. Go to patriotmobile.com/Carson or call 972-PATRIOT.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show, and it is, by the grace of God, finally Friday. I hope you're having a glorious week. Nice short week this week. This one went by in the blink of an eye. The positive is these days are going by so quickly that, I mean, it's remarkable that it's going to be November here before long. But don't worry. There's lots of damage that can be done before then. This hour, Kay Smythe is going to be joining us. She works with, she's a wonderful a millennial blogger and podcaster and writer for the Daily Caller. She is also a Brit, an expat. She lives in the United States, and she's going to join us to talk about the passing of Queen Elizabeth. And then next hour, we have Peter Navarro to talk about his new book. I want to talk to him about Steve Bannon, his persecution, Peter Navarro's persecution, among other things. So it is much listen to radio. Much listened to radio. New poll Wednesday by Jackson County radio station WMOV in Charleston, West Virginia. 66% of the 762 respondents had an unfavorable impression of Joe Manchin. It looks like only 26% had a favorable impression because they're idiots or not involved in any way, shape, or form with fossil fuel or blue-collar workers or anybody who's struggling. The poll comes 24 days after the $737 billion Inflation Reduction Act was signed into law, and Joe Manchin was such a complete and utter sellout, he even put his name on it with Chuck Schumer, which shows you he's a sellout. He's a weasel. Here's our new Joe Manchin song. Where is he lately, by the way? Haven't seen him.
Has anybody here seen that jerk Joe Manchin?
Thought he was proud of this bill.
Can you tell me where he's gone?
It's going to reduce inflation. Where is he?
Joe broke his promise and became a Biden pawn. I turned around and Joe was gone.
Yeah, not even doing any interviews.
Has anybody here seen Mitch McConnell?
Wait, where's he?
Suddenly, Mitch is a ghost.
Hadn't said anything about that speech in Philly.
He betrayed MAGA when he was needed most. And soon the turtle will be toast.
Song for all you boomers out there.
Has anybody here seen Kamala Harris?
Don't care.
From Sleepy Joe, she stays quite far. Illegals don't concern her, even though she's border czar. She'd rather cackle with Bill Maher.
There you go. Jim Gossett. Here he goes again. We had this conversation this morning. He was kind of, what should we talk about today? I said, well, you know, I'd like to know where Joe Manchin is. And he does that. He turned that around. It's just brilliant. It's interesting. And just a point of personal privilege before we dive back in. You know, I wrote for Rush for about 25 years of my career, starting in 1989, right out of college. And I wrote for every other comedy network. And one of the things that when you're the creative process, when you come up with stuff like this, and Jim is a lot like me, a lot of the times the best way to spur creativity is to be asked to say, hey, man, I need this. And you go, boom, done. Let me show you. That's what happened this morning. And then the other times are really creative is right before I go to sleep and in the middle of the night. Seriously, that's when I come up with the best comedy and stuff. So, yeah, Joe Manchin underwater. $437 billion on new investments in clean energy. It's a joke. It's a payoff. It's just like the damn freaking payoff of all these pardon my language. It really ticks me off. We paid 130 million new doses of the vaccine for the fall. Nobody's going to use it. Billions of dollars going to the big pharma for that. And then on this, you got $437 billion for nonsense. And I will never drive a stupid EV until they figure out like a nuclear fission where it's actually going to work, because windmills ain't doing it. And right now, 85% of the time, if you plug your EV into your house, chances are your house power is coming from a fossil fuel plant. So Joe Biden, or Joe Manchin, what he did, he opposed Build Back Better last year over concerns about adding to the national debt. But negotiations continue. They said, Joe, shut up. We'll take care of you. He put the brakes on negotiations in July after inflation climbed to 9.1. Discussions continued with him and Schumer. I guess he was taking them out to dinner, buying them a glass of wine before they did the deal. Anyway, Manchin then, of course, sold his soul. And it looks like he is way behind in the polls. Every Republican challenger for his seat in the Senate. And don't worry, he'll retire after the end of this term, and he'll be well taken care of. Really, really well taken care of. So have you noticed crime lately? You got a little crime problem, don't we? We got joggers in Memphis going out for a 4 o'clock in the morning drive. A 33-year-old teacher, wonderful person. Literally an heiress, a billionaire heiress, who instead of just now to becoming Paris Hilton and doing selfies all day, decided to teach kindergarten, and she had these wonderful motivational videos for her kids. She was wonderful. And she was murdered by a man who's been in and out of jail, in jail for 20 years and let out early. And then a 19-year-old man in Memphis went on a shooting spree, streamed it live on Facebook, and he murdered a 34-year-old mother right in front of her daughter. When the mother, wearing scrubs from the nurse job that she has, pulled over to help him because he was pretending to be in physical distress, and he murdered her in front of her daughter. And it's going all over the country, and it's insane. And it has to stop. And if Joe Biden, why is Joe Biden not saying a damn thing about it? Why didn't he talk about it in his Philly speech? Why did he just go after Donald Trump? Because he knows that Donald Trump, and he knows that MAGA Republicans have got his number. And when we get in power, people are not only going to be subject to congressional hearings, they're going to have to be subject to indictment, conviction, and imprisonment. And the entire swamp, in all of its corrupt and awful glory, will be under fire. And I hope it is figuratively blown up, paved over, and started all over again. Josh Hawley is a senator from Missouri. He's awesome. And here's what he had to say about it last night on, I believe he was on Hannity.
Oh, absolutely, Sean. And we're seeing it unfold in real time. And what we're seeing is an administration that cares nothing about the rule of law. They only care about abusing it. The only time they're interested in law enforcement is when they can use it against their political opponents, especially Donald Trump or anybody who supported Donald Trump. And what we're seeing is an effort by this president to use law enforcement, to abuse law enforcement, to try to criminalize, basically, the political opposition, which is half the country. And it
instead of criminalizing the criminals around the country, and by the way, Illinois' bloated parade balloon governor, Pritzker, just signed in a new safety law that follows suit with New York and San Francisco and all of the other liberal bastions that have gone to hell in a handbasket.
Unprecedented in our history, Sean, and it is extremely, extremely dangerous. In the meantime, you got people like this killer in Memphis. We're seeing shooting sprees. We're seeing murders. We're seeing carjackings all across the country, all across the country. Biden DOJ won't lift a finger to do anything about the crime.
But I'd like to raise a finger to Joe Biden and the Democrats right now. You can't see it, but I am.
Spree that is hurting and killing Americans, but they've got all the time in the world to target their political opponents.
Here is Josh Hawley talking about whistleblowers who are coming forward in the FBI and will ultimately expose the corruption that has been rampant in that agency, and will cascade into the CDC and the DHS when Alejandro Mayorkas is removed from office and hopefully imprisoned.
You bet it was. That's exactly what it was. And I tell you, Sean, we've had whistleblowers come to me, come to our office, give us information about what's happening, for instance, with the disinformation board, what's happening with the Afghan refugees. You got a lot of people right now who are good, honest people in government, and they can't believe what this administration's doing. And you bet Merrick Garland and his corrupt leadership at DOJ is telling these people, you sit down and shut up. He's basically threatening them.
Yeah, he's threatening legal whistleblowers that are guaranteed by law to be able to blow the whistle.
And listen, these folks, whistleblowers, are protected under federal law. They are explicitly protected. And what we see is, once again, the Biden team saying, no, we're not going to abide by the law if it doesn't suit us. And they're trying to squelch these whistleblowers. They're trying to shut it down so they can continue to abuse our criminal justice system and abuse these institutions.
Well, let me ask
for their
you this.
Yeah, and by the way, whistleblowers are coming forward in all sorts of agencies in the government. Believe it or not, not everybody who works for these government agencies is slavishly devoted to the Democrat Party and willing to criminalize average patriotic Americans as the heads of their departments are.
From the whistleblowers that I've seen from Senator Grassley who have come to him about how the FBI is being abused, how this Justice Department...
Hell is coming and we're coming with it!
...department is using it to go after Trump, how they're using it to try to shield Hunter Biden. We've had whistleblowers come forward and say the Biden administration lied about the Afghan refugees, that we actually have hundreds of potential terrorists in this country because they didn't vet the Afghan refugees. They brought them into the country...
And they're also letting them come across the border wholesale. That, my friends, is impeachable. That's criminal.
And just released them. We've had whistleblowers come forward about how DHS lied about the disinformation board. It's across the board, Sean. I mean, we're seeing this in all the different agencies. And the consistent theme is the Biden people are abusing the law, they're abusing the procedures, and they're doing it to go after their political opponents. They're doing it to try to cover their own tracks, and it's wrong.
And their latest speed bump is Steve Bannon. We'll get to that here very shortly. Rand Paul ripped the FBI. They got a new report the Daily Caller News Foundation put together. Apparently, the FBI, he was getting people to sign away their rights to own a gun. Did you know that? Remember that audio that I played from the guy in Delaware where the FBI agents once stood out in the... kind of flanked the guy who went to the door wearing a bulletproof vest, holding, having his weapons holstered. And then the man went up on the deck. The FBI agent tapped on the door and said, hey, I'll just check in here. I saw that you've been making a couple gun purchases this year, and I'd like to see one of those guns. I just want to make sure that nothing's going on here. And the guy should have said, come back with a warrant, get the hell off my porch. But he didn't. He brought one and he showed the FBI agent. That's a big mistake. That is a big, big mistake. But that apparently is what they are doing, and it is going to do a face plant. They're trying to disarm us. They're trying to arm their agencies like the IRS. What do you suppose is next? Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Sleepy Joe. Joe Biden's been asleep for years.
This has to be a wake-up call and shine a bright spotlight on anything like this behavior anywhere.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
Coming up, Kay Smythe of the Daily Caller is going to talk to us about the Queen and the royal family and Great Britain in general. She's an expat, lives in L.A. And I don't know why the hell she chose L.A., but you never know. So we'll talk to her very shortly. The bottom of the hour, actually, is when we'll do it. And also, I'll just go ahead and I'll say, if you are a British subject, if you're someone who maybe is originally from England, you're more than welcome to call. If you would like to mention, pay tribute, whatever, you're more than welcome. 800-922-6680. I know this is a deep and profound loss for a lot of people. That's why I was so... I look at these morons in the Atlantic and the New York Times saying these awful things about the Queen, and I'm like, how out of touch are you? How awful and selfish are you that millions of people are profoundly impacted by this incredible historical figure, and because you heard the word colonialism at a college class... And now you got a degree in critical race and a chip on your shoulder the size of Mount Rushmore, which should be taken down because those guys were slave owners. But anyway, honestly, wow, really? So my heart is with the British people. I mean, regardless of what you know or what you feel about the royal family, I thought she was a remarkable historical figure. Anyway, so that's all coming up. Rand Paul ripped on the FBI. A reporter for the Daily Caller revealed that on at least 15 occasions, the FBI has pressured Americans into signing forms relinquishing their right to purchase firearms that possess them. Gun owners of America obtained the forms through the Freedom of Information Act. Now, by the way, the Biden administration, there's a Winchester, I believe, has a big ammo manufacturing plant in Kentucky, and there's leftover ammunition that is not sold to the government that is for sale to the American people. And this is like the lion's share of a certain caliber of bullet. I don't have the story in front of me. I remember it. And the government wanted to take that away because they're trying all these backdoor ways of disarming you and arming the IRS. We've seen this before in history. The DHS in Barack Obama's administration bought $1.5 billion rounds of ammunition. This isn't hyperbole. This is fact. The FBI received criticism for its handling of allegations based on the dossier, blah, blah, blah. The FBI is corrupt. And I've got a couple of things here. I want to mention Rand Paul also is on this Anthony Fauci and the White House email that they were working together with Facebook to shut down discussion of COVID while the FBI was working with the White House and with Democrats on keeping Hunter Biden's laptop a secret. So the FBI is rotten to the core. Here is Rand Paul starting off about the emails that have been demanded by a judge from Anthony Fauci in the White House.
You know, I think that all of America should be appalled that America's doctor, the leading expert on COVID and public health, doesn't want to divulge information, doesn't want to divulge his communications with big tech. But it goes even beyond that. The last time I had him in a hearing, we told him that through Freedom of Information, we discovered that 193 NIH scientists had taken, no, it was 1,800 scientists had taken $193 million in royalties. And his response was, not that I'll look into it and I'll reveal it. His response was, by law, we don't have to tell you which companies gave us how many royalties and to which scientists. So this is a guy that his modus operandi is to cover up and try to not allow any sunshine on any of his activities. That should be a tip off as to his motives.
Here is Rand Paul talking about the FBI and their attempt to get people to sign away their Second Amendment rights.
Well, there's a certain irony to saying to someone, you have to be mentally competent to sign this statement that says you're not mentally competent to have a gun. So there is.
By the way, the left is trying to paint you as a patriot as mentally ill. They are. This is how they did it in Russia. They labeled things disinformation with their disinformation bureau. And if you continued to do disinformation, they would say that you needed to be re-educated because clearly you are mentally ill. And sometimes you'd go to a gulag where you'd get re-educated or they just murder you.
That might be a quandary if you get into a court of law, how someone that's mentally incompetent to own a gun could be competent to sign away their gun rights. But I think the whole problem we have right now is that there is a burden upon the FBI to prove to the American public that they're not partisan. This goes back to 2016.
If it were just partisanship and not criminality.
When they used a foreign intelligence warrant to go after Donald Trump and his campaign. A foreign intelligence warrant, which should be used on foreigners in a secret court, was used to go after a major presidential, you know, candidate. Now we have 2 weeks ago, or in the last week, an FBI agent's been let go because
that would be Timothy Thibault,
because he was hiding evidence that Hunter Biden's laptop was legitimate. So I think
that should be the biggest scandal in the history of American electoral politics, other than, you know, the election being stolen by Joe Biden in 2020.
There's a burden on the FBI, whether it's this, whether it's guns or anything else, to prove to us that they're not acting in a political way. And I've had this conversation with Christopher Wray before. He doesn't seem to be troubled at all by using a foreign intelligence warrant on an American That's why he just doesn't simply get it.
And after that conversation, Rand Paul was tackled off his lawnmower and got 6 broken ribs. Actually, I just added that. I added that to the conversation. That did happen. It was another Democrat who actually did that, physically tackled a senator off of his lawnmower and broke 6 of his ribs. But, you know, there's nothing to see here. And the whole, Brett Kavanaugh attempted assassination. There's nothing to see here. Although, you know what, honestly, the FBI, thank God they're focusing on the really important stuff, like an illegal search of Mar-a-Lago, going into Melania Trump's bedroom. She has to throw away her underwear because she can't think of the thought of wearing something after these creeps raided her bedroom. And then Barron Trump's bedroom, a 16-year-old kid. Dear God in heaven, FBI, keep blowing that whistle, because otherwise you're not going to have a job in a few months. Let's take a break. Kay Smythe to talk about the passing of QE2 in just a moment. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show. The Rob Carson Show, Kay Smythe, writer for the Daily Caller. And do I call you an expat with regard to coming from Great Britain to live in the United States? Kay Smythe, how are you today?
I'm very well. I don't know if I technically am an expat. The one thing that I love to refer to myself as, because it really annoys people predominantly on the left, is when I call myself a resident legal alien, because that is technically my title.
Yes,
out here.
Yes, yes.
That
yes,
is
yes.
Literally my legal title, and people will be like, you're not an alien, and I'm like, no, literally it says that on my passport at this
yeah.
point.
So this morning, it was yesterday, I should say, we found out that Queen Elizabeth II had passed at 96 years old. Glorious, glorious, wonderful, long life. And what is remarkable is that 70 years as the Queen is generally a lifetime for most of not only your primary education, your childhood, your adolescence, your career, and then retirement. She had that position all of that time. What are your thoughts when she passed? What came to your mind first as someone who is a citizen of Great Britain?
The first thing that came to my mind, Rob, was really just how sad it was. You know, I think a lot of us somewhat presumed that after Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, died last year, right before her yeah. birthday, I think a lot of us sort of said, ooh, that's, you know, the Queen was very much unstoppable. You know, her mother lived until she was 101.
Wow.
And so up until Philip passed, I think all of us sort of assumed that the Queen would do the same. And so when news started, you know, earlier this year, I cover, like, I write as much as I possibly can about the Queen and the royal family. I try to make it less gossipy than a lot of outlets, but that's really part of my beat at the Daily Caller. And I started to notice that a lot of the reports suggested that her health was deteriorating. You know, she
yeah.
moved out of Buckingham Palace. She moved into Windsor Castle, was spending a lot more time at Balmoral, which is where she died. And so I think a lot of us expected it, but it really sort of came out of nowhere in terms of timing. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, everyone assumed that she would outlive Charles, because he was not necessarily an unhealthy man, but he lacks a lot of the humor and the lightness that yeah. I think really kept the Queen going for as long as she did. And like I said, I can't imagine even now living or moving forward without John, my partner.
Yes.
And so I can't imagine being married for 73 years and then losing the love of your life. I mean, people really do die of a broken heart.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And I think that contributed significantly to her rapid decline over the last year.
She actually met with Liz Truss on the 6th, I believe, of this month. So just a few days ago.
2 days ago. Yeah, 2 days ago.
And I saw a picture, and she looked fairly well. So this obviously happened rather quickly. I had mentioned at the beginning of my show, and this again, my mother died at 91 years old. She was really old enough to be my grandmother, but she died a year and a half ago. And she was the biggest influence of my life. She is the greatest person I've ever known, including someone in history. I really do believe that she was magnificent. She came from that last great generation of women who were proud to be women. And now we've got liberals in this country erasing womanhood, literally letting men compete with young women and destroy their athletic careers. We've got women who can't even go out and go for a run without being murdered in this country. You literally almost have to wear a burqa. And there's some people say, oh, well, what are you doing out wearing shorts at 4 a.m? You know, you should expect that. No, you shouldn't. But that aside, there was something remarkable about women of not just of her age chronologically, but of her age, if you know what I mean.
I absolutely know what you mean. And I will say, my mother is probably one of the most terrifying, strong, feminine women in the world. Like I've always said, I would never want to show my mom a new outfit first. But she's the first person I would call to go shopping for that outfit, but she's also the first person I would call to help me fight someone else for that outfit, if that makes any sense.
Yes,
I think the women listening will probably understand a little bit better than the men.
Yes.
And so I think, you know, she was raised by somewhat of a powerful woman. I didn't actually get along at all with my grandmother, but on my father's side, you know, his mother, his stepmother, for want of a better word, the woman who was, by all intents and purposes, my grandmother, same thing. Just this powerful feminine energy that has just almost completely gone out of the window.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Queen really was the last... She was the last woman of prowess and power who didn't use her position to divide.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't use her position to tell others how to think.
Yeah.
She was a true Democrat through and through, like throughout her entire life, from not in terms of like what the Democratic Party claims to be, but what a Democrat truly is, that kind of bipartisan, let's listen to what the consensus is and go with that. Let's listen to the people and go with that. So she wasn't just a brilliant, like, female and a hugely, just, like, the most incredible female role model to look up to. But she really sort of represents something that is just massively missing from female leadership or leadership in general.
Yeah.
You know, Rob, one of the other columns that I'm doing right now at The Caller is... so I've got a lot of friends from back in LA. I think we've talked about this on previous shows. And one of them calls me, because they're all conservative and lie about it publicly.
Yes.
They go, okay, I've got a screener for Gutsy, the new Hillary Clinton show.
Oh, dear God.
I hate this woman. You've got to watch it. You've got to write about it. So obviously I immediately took that to my editors and said, listen, I got a copy of this. I want to write about every single episode so people don't have to watch it, but they can read what I have to say about it and hopefully get a laugh, or at least, you know, get a laugh, get a little bit of information, then carry on with their day instead of spending 45 minutes watching one of the most hate-filled baronesses of agony, misery, and words that I can't say on national radio, prevaricate about how great she is and while she exploits the agonies of others.
Yes.
Take 5 minutes to write, like, read my article about it, or read all the stuff that I write about the Queen, and maybe take a step back from your ego, all you lefty women who are destroying this country and the world with it. No one cares about your Lululemons and your coffees. And saving the sea turtles with your paper straws.
Don't forget the stainless steel Yeti full of cheap Chardonnay.
Oh my God! Okay, well, like, I'm British, dude. I'll drink anything. If it's
now, Linda, but I thought about this morning because, you know, there's these trolls from hell who are clearly the progeny of CRT, who are writing for the New York Times and saying that I hope she dies. I hope she was a colonizer, because they heard that in a college class. Maybe it was a sociology class, you know, where they tell people in America who are white that they're guilty of slavery. But there was that nonsense. There was that nonsense going on. But you look at this woman, and I asked this question, and I want to ask you, what would you rather have, okay? Would you rather have be born into a life of privilege where you live in a castle, or would you rather be able to freely choose your lot in life, to drive your own car, to go to the grocery store, to not have every one of your family's issues, concerns, or otherwise, or facial expressions made into a massive, massive story? Which would you rather have, and how would you result because of it? I think we see in Harry and Meghan how the new generation is, but look at what Queen Elizabeth, what she was born into. Her lot in life was decided at birth, and I think she did a brilliant job with it.
I completely agree with you, Rob, and, you know, not to, like, I'm very close to my family, I gotta say this, and my dad, for as much as he riles against it, you know, my dad is Peter Fonda in Easy Rider, so I've gotta stress that.
I love
like
it.
He literally is, like, they even look the same.
Sweet.
But when you look back at my dad's ancestry, you know, my great-grandfather has mountains named after him.
Wow.
Like, they're a really posh family. You go back far enough, someone in my family, like, was one of the founders of HSBC.
Wait a minute. Is his last name Everest? Is it Everest? Is it Everest or McKinley? I'm just kidding. Yeah. Go ahead.
Don't tell anyone. No, it's just this random Canadian mountain.
Gotcha. Okay, that's fine.
But no, it's he did almost summit Everest before Hillary, though.
Edmund Hillary. Yes.
Wow. But no, so I kind of get it, right? Like, my dad saw what kind of privilege he could have accrued if he had sort of stuck it out in, we call it public school, but it's private school technically.
Gotcha.
If he had sort of like followed that trend. And he was like, absolutely not. Like, do the work and get to where you want to be. And then I was born and I said, well, that's all well and good. I also don't want my life to be bought for me. But I'm going to take it a step further. And instead of living in the UK, where there will perpetually be a cap on the success that I can achieve.
Yes.
Like, that's just the thing in the UK. It is not a country, because of the kind of influence of socialism, it is a country where pretty much the class that you're born into is where you stay.
Yeah,
and
like India.
It's very hard to make a lot of money in the UK. It's very hard to accrue any kind of, like, creative freedom. And so I took it a step further, and I moved to the United States to get that extra bit of freedom that you guys created, that the Queen loved, by the way. Did you know this? The Queen absolutely was almost, like, thrilled that America turned around against King George and said, we don't want you anymore. We want the right to self-govern. And she said back in, I think it was 1970-something.
Yeah.
She said, like, that was one of the greatest things that happened to the UK. Not because we lost America, but because America showed us the true value of freedom. And, you know, she was a huge proponent of true democracy. That's why she didn't rule as this sort of, like, overarching oligarch. And so I think anyone who points a finger at the Queen and says, oh, you know, she, like, married her cousin and she did this and she did that and she was, you know, this monstrous racist.
Oh,
I just have to kind of remind them that if it wasn't for the British Empire, like, I mean, in the same way that people used to hate on the Romans back in the day, even though the Romans gave everyone basically everything to build into modern society, the British Empire did the same.
Yeah, so there's something remarkable about
the reason you can read.
There's just something about, I don't know, having a written and spoken or written language and having buildings and indoor plumbing. It's kind of weird how that happens when you toss off the bonds that that bound you, like the United States did. And I think the kinship between us and the Brits is remarkable. It really is remarkable. And I consider that certainly not just because of genealogy, and I mentioned off the air, I discovered a couple of years ago my ancestry, and I thought it was Irish, English and German. Turns out I am so freaking English, it's not even funny. I mean, I am wicked English and a little bit of Irish and a little bit of German in there. But otherwise, and I literally have a picture of me with Adele, and she looks like my niece. I mean, it's, we look just alike. It's, she could be. I don't know. Who knows? I was crazy in college. But anyway, you know, who the hell knows? No, I wasn't that crazy. But I think our friendship with the British people, our kinship, is one that has caused us to survive a couple of world wars. We have fought off evil together. And I do believe, Kay, and I've said this about the United States of America, 70% of both parties believe our country is going in the wrong direction. I have a feeling that the passing of Queen Elizabeth will maybe give a reality check to those in the country who've allowed the left to dominate so much and possibly cause a rebirth of patriotism and originalism. Maybe that's hoping against hope. I know it's happening here. Final thought. Do you think it's going to happen in Great Britain?
I hope it is. I didn't like Liz Truss up until the minute she became Prime Minister.
Good.
And then she issued a bunch of sweeping reforms that are very desperately needed. You know, she's focusing on people, not on power. And I think that it would be a really great idea for every single person in politics and every single person who chooses to vote for a particular politician. Look at the person you're voting for, and politicians, look at the person you are. Are you in this job because you want to help those people who vote for you, or are you in this job for power? Because if you're in this job for power, we the people can take it away from you, and we absolutely should. And I think that's what we need to do.
And we're going, we got to go here, but I want to mention, I think Liz Truss also said they're going to bring back fracking, so they're going to do their level best to make Great Britain energy independent again, which I think is marvelous. Great to have you on, Kay, and continued success. We will have you on again soon. God bless the Queen. God save the King, I guess we should say now. And have a glorious weekend, okay?
You too, Rob. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. It's the Rob Carson Show. Back in a few.
Joe Biden has always been a punchline. Now he's just a joke. It's the Rob Carson Show.
I have a tie for the dumbest thing I've seen in the news today. Number one is Haarlem, near Amsterdam in Denmark, will be the first city to ban meat ads for climate change. This is bat guano crazy stupid, by the way. About as stupid as banning cars, I guess. About as stupid as, you know, all the crap the Green Energy New Deal pushers are trying to push on us. And by the way, climate change has always existed. Yeah, and so your argument is specious and stupid. Dutch farmers have protested the plans to cut the sector of meat emissions. They want to cut meat production by 30%. So they're going to destroy people's lives because they're really ignorant, stupid people. So 95% of the Dutch eat meat, including 20% every single day. By the way, Amsterdam and the Hague have already banned ads for air travel, gas cars, and fossil fuels. But now this little enclave called Haarlem is banning advertising for meat, which makes me, we just want to eat more meat. And, you know, I haven't done this in a while. We haven't done a caught the stupid update. That's my signature phrase. It's a don't catch the stupid. And it started off with regard to COVID idiocy and has moved on to so many other things, including getting rid of certain words on national monuments.
Stupid, 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 people, people, people.
Just plain stupid.
Stupid is stupid, doesn't it?
Who got stupid?
Biden administration on Thursday announced it completed the task it set for itself this year, changing the names of hundreds of places on the federal land with the word squaw. 650. Secretary of Interior Deb Haaland declared by secretarial order that squaw is a derogatory term. She's the one who said couldn't respond when Joe Manchin, the traitor, said that, hey, you guys shut off all offshore drilling in the next year, and she had nothing to say about it because they did it unilaterally. Now I want you to listen real carefully, because if you erase history, you repeat it. Kind of like Joe Biden's speech in Philly. If you don't remember great speeches by dictators of the past, you might allow it. According to the Canadian government's terminology guide, research on Aboriginal heritage, squaw is the phonetic rendering of an Algonquin word meaning the totality of being female, meaning that the Algonquins would say squaw, and we translated it phonetically to S-Q-A-W. That's the phonetic rendering of the word, the totality of being a female, meaning woman, essentially. All right? So, for instance, in other words, like a Nidobashkawa is a female friend, Squaw Shashum is a female chief, but because it's a language that they, or a word that they phonetically changed and used in the English language, suddenly it's verboten. So you really are just stabbing Native Americans in the back by taking their word away from them. And so please, why don't you just name all of these places that were named after Squaw, like Squaw Creek Wild Animal Refuge, just call them Marshmallow Man or something really, really stupid like that. All right? So this is the latest. Squaw is in the name of... this is also on the heels of the other idiotic crap. Let me remind you. Cleveland Indians are now the Cleveland Guardians. Aunt Jemima no longer exists. Quaker Oats rebranded it. It's called Pearl Mining Company. All right. Also, Land O'Lakes got rid of the Native American, and an Uncle Ben no longer exists. That's how stupid these people are, and that's why I do this.
Stupid. Stupid
is, stupid does
miss. Rob Carson Show, back in a second.
They called us deplorables.
We're not gonna take it.
They shut down our country.
Hell, we ain't gonna take it.
They say our thoughts are disinformation. Is our response, the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show final hour, and by the grace of God, it is finally Friday. Finally Friday. Peter Navarro has got a new book. It's called Taking Back Trump's America. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. Much to get to with regard to Steve Bannon, his perp walk yesterday. He was pardoned of any wrongdoing with regard to a charity building, and they literally built 5 miles of wall on the southern border. And, of course, the AG of New York and the DA, they are going after Steve Bannon because he is a threat to them. He reaches about 60 million people, I guess, a week with his glorious show. So we will get to that story. And Peter Navarro, have you noticed how many high-profile Dems and Republicans have just disappeared from view the last couple of weeks? Like, you know, everybody, the Squad and Bernie Sanders and Liz Warren, when it came to Joe Biden's speech, none of them, they just let him do it. They didn't say anything about it, even though they knew it was going to be a... It's like they almost wanted to see if they could ignite a war, and then they'd get in on it kind of thing. And then there's Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin just signed off on a lie. The Inflation Reduction Act just completely stabbed his constituents and the United States, the people of the United States, in the backs because he's a filthy, lying, swamp-dilling swine. Why isn't he on TV now? You'd think he'd be proud with all that inflation reduction, but I guess not. Yeah.
Has anybody here seen that jerk Joe Manchin?
This is Jim Gossett.
Can you tell me where he's gone?
He's hiding until retirement.
Joe broke his promise and became a Biden pawn. I turned around and Joe was gone. Huh. Has anybody here seen Mitch McConnell?
Hadn't said a thing since the speech.
Suddenly, Mitch is a ghost.
Because he's a tool.
He betrayed MAGA when he was needed most. And soon the turtle will be toast.
Take him back to the swamp. Turtle.
Has anybody here seen Kamala Harris?
Don't want to either.
From Sleepy Joe, she stays quite far. Illegals don't concern her, even though she's border czar.
Ha, laughable.
She'd rather cackle with Bill Maher.
That is a Jim Gossett, 2 S's and 2 T's. JimGossettComedy.com. So Steve Bannon says, I have not begun to fight. after helping build a border wall faster and cheaper than the federal government. New York leftists charged Steve Bannon again with fraud, and media is carrying their water. Oddly enough, I don't see a whole lot of stories on Black Lives Matter, on Patrice Cullors, who they spent literally like $8 million on a mansion, ex-communist headquarters in Ottawa, Kansas, for BLM's headquarters. And then they bought a studio facility, this magnificent house in L.A., where Patrice Cullors has actually been staying. But she says, oh, no, it's an artistic space. It's an artistic space, yeah. Well, you know, most kids in inner-city schools don't really need an artistic space. So it's a scam. It's a shakedown. It's a put-on. Another Black Lives Matter affiliate stole $10 million. But I don't see him being perp-walked anytime soon, do you? I don't see him perp-walk. Not one little bit. Here is Steve Bannon being perp-walked yesterday. They put him in handcuffs because it's a show trial. It's kangaroo nonsense. It's meant to convict people before they've even gone to trial. And they used real handcuffs, unlike the fake ones that AOC used when she was out in front of the Supreme Court just a few weeks ago.
For every conservative, this is what happens in the last days of a dying regime. They will never shut me up. They'll have to kill me first. I have not yet begun to fight.
I believe Steve. That's my new expression. I trademarked it already. I believe Steve. You know why? Because the people persecuting him are dishonest. They're awful people. And America gets it. And America sees that not only is the National Justice Department completely political organization, but also the DA, Alvin Bragg, and the AG of the state of New York, they are both political tools. And the day that you weaponize law enforcement to take out your political enemies, no matter what, is the day the damn country's over. Steve Bannon was indicted in New York a second time for his alleged role in, quote, defrauding donors who gave to the We Build the Wall charity. Now, Donald Trump said pardoned him for any wrongdoing, meaning that anything that came out of this, he had the absolute right to pardon him. Now, if you want to play this game and you want to say we can go ahead and we can charge and we can make somebody go through a trial after a presidential pardon, then we got a bleep ton of people to go through who Barack Obama and Donald Trump pardoned. Do you want to play that game? Because I think they do. Here is Steve Bannon outside of the courthouse talking about the specious charges against him.
2 months to the day that we have the most important midterm election since 1862, since the Civil War. And I built the dominant platform in all media.
He has built the most dominant platform in conservative media.
Grassroots participation. This is why we've won the school wars. This is why people are coming to become election workers and poll workers and election judges. Because every day we build...
He has had a lot to do with all the whistleblowers and all the people speaking out about CRT. Because Steve Bannon, like me, doesn't have a filter.
Grassroots. And they try to go with 60 days left, just like they did in 2020.
Yep.
And make sure they can shut me down and take me out of it. I got news for them. I have not yet begun to fight. We are going to win a sweeping landslide at every level, from school boards to election officials, the state legislature, into the Senate. We are not going to back down.
There you go.
Okay, we are not going to back down.
Peter Navarro's gone through the same thing as a Trump affiliate, an associate. Gone through hell, had his life destroyed, nearly bankrupt. Same thing. When you allow your justice system to go after people politically, it's over. But I ain't going quietly into the night, are you? I don't think so. Now, this is Steve Bannon at CPAC talking about the corrupt federal government.
This is the reality. They are totally, absolutely corrupt. They're absolutely power mad, and they're lawless. They will use anything. Christopher Wray testifies yesterday. Yeah, we're going to get on that laptop from hell. He's had the laptop from hell since December of 2019.
End of discussion. The FBI is rotten. The corpse is rotten above the shoulders. And Christopher Wray and James Comey are part of it.
That's my point about half measures. When we take the House, investigations of Fauci, investigations of the laptop, investigations of the southern border.
Investigations, investigations, investigations. Accountability and criminal charges if need be.
Amen.
We have to fight fire with fire.
This is why they're so desperate to take down Donald Trump and his followers. And Mitch McConnell, who's a turtle and a toady, hasn't said anything about 70%+ of Republicans in this country. He's supposed to be representative of them. And he hasn't said a damned thing because he's part of it. Let's go to Jason in Idaho. Hello, Jason. How you doing, buddy? Welcome to the show.
Great to finally talk to you, live and in person.
Yes, sir.
Two small quick points. Democracy, or any verbiage of the word Democrat, democracy is the height of socialism.
Yes.
They have changed their language a lot longer than people want to realize since they started using that word to describe our country.
Yeah.
Our country is not a democracy. You've made that point many times before.
Yeah.
But, every single time we hear even somebody, that calls themselves a Republican use the word democracy, we need to correct them every single time.
Because that is mob rule. No. A Democrat, and by that's mob rule. It is mob rule. Whoever is in charge, whoever has a majority, owns everything, and you're squad. That's why they keep saying, they're an enemy to our democracy, even though we are not a democracy.
Exactly. And to that extent and to that point, I think that those of us that are true patriots, we need to start calling ourselves constitutionalists, because it doesn't matter whether you're on the left or on the right when it comes to your political views. As long as you support the Constitution, that's the important part. So we need to all call ourselves constitutionalists.
Okay, I like that. It's not what I, and I'll have to change my title from badass mother who is a patriotic, something like that. I'll have to shorten it up into a constitutionalist there, Jason, but I'm willing to change.
Well, you can just put that on the front. How's that?
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Jason, where do you live in Idaho, bro?
Coeur d'Alene, up in the north, about 100 miles away from Canada.
It's a beautiful state. I've been watching this. You ever watch this show out of Boise on HGTV? These two brothers who go fixing houses in Boise. I think it's called like Boise Boys or something.
I've heard of the show. I'm actually in the real estate industry myself, The way they portray the way that kind of stuff works versus the way it really works is two different things, and so I kind of lost interest really fast.
Now the next thing you're going to tell me is the Property Brothers are really just two models, not a real estate agent and a guy who rehabs houses.
I wouldn't put a fellow agent to do that kind of silly thing.
All right.
If you really want to watch that kind of stuff, watch Jamil Damji and Faith Morby.
What's
Those
that?
Those are the guys to watch. They're on. I think they're on AMC. They're doing flips and wholesale.
Well, I'll have to get my wife off of HGTV because she makes me watch it every night.
Yeah, I think they're on AMC, but they're just about to start their second season.
Hey, Jason, thanks for the thoughts, man, and thanks to the great people of Idaho. The state is my mom used to live there actually. So, have a glorious weekend, bro. Okay. All right, let's take a break. You are listening to the Rob Carson Show.
An election year, and a whole lot of Democrats have electile dysfunction.
That is simply not true.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
Peter Navarro is going to join us at the bottom of the hour to talk about Steve Bannon's situation, how Peter Navarro, in fact, was led away in handcuffs as he departed Reagan National Airport, among other things. So don't go anywhere. Not saying you would. So D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser has declared a public emergency over migrants being bused from Texas into D.C. And nothing against the people of D.C. But literally in D.C., I think it's 7 of the top 10 richest counties in America surround Washington, D.C. How many auto building plants are there or airplane manufacturing plants in D.C., do you suppose? a zero. There's little to no manufacturing in Washington, D.C., not saying that there is no entrepreneurship, but a good deal, in fact, all the reason why the wealth is there, not only because it's near, you know, a port, but it is also, you know, the seat of government. It is the seat of the largest company in the history of the world with a $5 trillion annual budget, and it is controlled by people who move there to become members of the board of directors so they can spend that money. That's what it's all about. So when, you know, one of these states where Joe Biden is allowing illegals to wholesale come into the country to destroy the country, die on people's land, destroy people's lands, destroy municipalities, spread fentanyl and death throughout, spread disease and death throughout, then, you know, maybe they ought to bring a little bit to the seat of power in the country. Maybe that's when Washington, D.C. will finally get it. See, they tried to do a truckers rally like they did in Ottawa, but in Washington, D.C., they wouldn't allow the trucks to go in the beltway, to go inside the beltway in D.C. They kept them out. You couldn't do that. This is the seed of our, it's not democracy, the seed of our governance, and they wouldn't allow protestation by the lowly proletariat. This is Brienne Nadeau. She is a councilwoman in Washington, D.C. They're all butthurt because with a population of 700,000 people, they've had to make room for 7,900 migrants, while the Southwest and Texas have to deal with 5 million since Joe Biden became the prezi.
Just say, as a Southern Baptist.
Wow. That's not it. That's another soundbite. Here go. Here she is, Miss Nadeau.
So it's been said, but it's worth reiterating, that the governors of Texas and Arizona.
She looks very Karen-y, like she might be completely down with your children being taught about transgenderism in school.
Have created this crisis. And the federal government has not stepped up to assist the District of Columbia.
Yeah.
So we, along with our regional partners, will do what we've always done. We'll rise to the occasion. We've learned from border towns like El Paso and Brownsville. And in many ways, the governors of Texas and Arizona have turned us into a border town.
Oh, what is the expression? Tough something said the kitty. I remember that when I was something tough, something said the kitty.
We don't know how long this will take to resolve. We don't know how long they will continue busing. And so the right thing to do here is to be prepared to ensure we can greet every bus, we can get people off on the right foot, we can get them where they want to go.
And isn't that the promise of being a sanctuary city? I believe it is. Let's hear that again.
Have turned us into a border town.
Well, well.
We don't know how long this will take to resolve. We don't know how long they will continue busing. And so the right thing to do here is to be prepared to ensure we can greet every bus, we can get people off on the right foot.
And that is your duty as a sanctuary city. You made that commitment to it. But you see, so many ways, Democrats are very pro-whatever until it actually affects them. There's a new survey about people become more conservative, more pro-life when they have children. Out of sight, out of mind, you don't give a rat's behind if babies are murdered in the womb if you don't have children. But by God, when you get pregnant, it's different. Yeah. Pathetic. Oh, and this is also great. This proves the Karen ideology. And when I talk about Karens, I talk about Karens. They're generally white liberals in cul-de-sac America or in the artsy-fartsy places like the Central West End and St. Louis and you know, wherever in New York and all the, you know, and they are. And they drink, you know, they drink their $5 coffee every, well, more than that, actually. But they want everybody to live according to their rules. Karens are the ones who got rid of Uncle Ben and Aunt Jemima and all that. They got rid of it. The black people actually don't have a problem with Aunt Jemima. In fact, the town where Aunt Jemima, the woman who played Aunt Jemima, it was one of their greatest sources of pride. She was Aunt Jemima. She was the Aunt Jemima. She was the Aunt Jemima. And they got rid of her. Because they're stupid. You know, it's like they just got rid of the word squaw, which is nothing more than a phonetic pronunciation from the Algonquin for the totality of a woman. So when a Native American says squaw, that's fine. But if Whitey names something after squaw, they got to get rid of it. More than half of those who consume news from legacy media outlets like CNN and MSNBC believe, and this is Karen in action, believe Hispanics are becoming more conservative than the ballot box because they're soaking up disinformation. So what they're doing is what they always do. They are thinking the least of the people who are becoming more conservative. They're thinking, well, those little brown people, they aren't very smart that way. That's what this is about. They believe that the reason why Hispanics are making the choice to be conservatives, not because of their faith, not because of their belief in family and country, it's because they're being fed disinformation. In other words, anything that the Democrats disagree with. 57% of MSNBC viewers said the spread of disinformation was causing Hispanics to vote conservative. You know, it would be too much to think that maybe those little brown people who Democrats think can only run leaf blowers might actually be believers that the country is wonderful at its founding and are proud to be here, proud of their God, proud of their families. Isn't that kind of it? Yeah. 54% of CNN viewers feel the same way. Another 16% of MSNBC respondents and one-fifth of CNN respondents said Hispanics have, quote, internalized racism and a desire to fit into white society. Wow. They really, really think very little of you. Please come to the conservative movement. Include the Republican Party. You know, they're a part of it. But come to the conservative movement. There's nothing but freedom and goodness. On the way, Peter Navarro's got a new book. We're going to talk to him about his experience as a tortured Trump supporter. Friday on the Rob Carson Show, and one of the people that I absolutely have always loved watching this guy on TV, his political observations are incredibly astute. Peter Navarro joins us on the Newsmax hotline. Peter Navarro, welcome to the show. So glad you could make it on the show today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Rob, and I'm a fan of, obviously, of Newsmax. I get on there on the TV side a lot, so...
Yeah.
Happy to chat with you today about the chessboard.
I want to talk about the book. I want to ask you one question that I've been waiting forever to ask you, and that is, do you ever sit down?
Interestingly enough, as we're doing this interview, I am standing up. Do the stand-up desk and all that
yes,
kind of stuff.
I've
and
never...
you know that phrase, sitting is the new cancer.
Right? Well, dude, are you...
So, no, I keep on the move, and when I'm working, I'm standing up, and that's why at least some people call me a stand-up guy.
I love it. So you got a new book out, Taking Back Trump's America, Why We Lost the White House, How We'll Win It Back. I personally, and I've never been afraid to say it, I believe that the 2020 election was thrown by the Democrat Party, whether it be through shutting down the counting in five battleground states, counting all the votes of people in nursing homes in Pennsylvania. I can go on and on. Zuckerbucks, mail-in drop boxes, FBI. But that said, why we lost the White House, what else is to it other than the FBI and how it was stolen?
So... let's be clear, when I say why we lost the White House, it wasn't because President Trump lost the legal vote on Election Day. It was because of five strategic failures that made that election close enough to steal, Rob.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember the old Reagan saw, personnel is policy, mm-hmm. meaning you know, who you hire in the White House
yeah.
is going to be a reflection of the kind of policies that wind up getting passed. And if they're not... those personnel aren't in sync with the president,
yeah.
then you're going to get the wrong policies. Well, in Taking Back Trump's America, the first half of the book looks at this problem of bad personnel,
yeah.
not only creating bad policy, but also bad politics. And for example, if we had simply never had two people darken the door of the White House, I think the boss would still be in office. I'm talking here about Treasury Secretary Neville Chamberlain Mnuchin, and he gutted our tough on China policies too
yeah.
many times. And of course, Jared Kushner, the 30-something Rasputin, who was constantly low on the learning curve and causing all sorts of problems, and ingratiating himself to his Wall Street buddies. But there's a long list, and I think, you know, in the Taking Back Trump's America book, I go back to the original sin of the administration back right after the 2016 election, when the decision was made to welcome the rhino wing of the Republican Party into the coalition, thinking that we needed them somehow to help us govern.
Yeah.
And it was a fatal mistake, because that's how you got people like Exxon, Rex Tillerson at State.
Oh, yes.
Jim Mad Dog Fool Mattis at the Pentagon. And inside the White House, I mean, you can't make this up. I mean, how do you put the former CEO of Goldman Sachs, Gary Cohn, in charge of the National Economic Council? I mean, it was crazy, because the guy from day one, he was a kiss ass who would go into the Oval Office and tell the president anything he wanted to hear.
Yeah.
And he'd come out and just do everything he could to destroy, derail, or deter Trump trade policy. I mean, the dude hated tariffs, which were the signature of Donald Trump. And I had to fight Cohn until I was able to finally beat him and drive his ass out of the White House. But those are the kinds of things, Rob, that I'm trying to avoid if we can get back to the White House, if the boss can win in 2024. And it's like one of the themes of the book is that past cannot be prolonged. Therefore, we must learn the mistakes of the past. And then the second part of Taking Back Trump's America is, of course, the battle plan and for taking back not just the Trump White House, not just the Trump White House, but we got to get that House of Representatives back from Pelosi in November.
Yes.
And that's what I'm focused on now. My mission, Taking Back Trump's America in the short run, is to take that House and gavel away from Pelosi, Schiff, Raskin, and those clowns who are weaponizing.
Let me ask you this.
Investigatory powers of Congress unconstitutionally.
I want to get into why Steve Bannon was you know, perp walked yesterday, and what's going on with that. I want to get your opinion. Steve Bannon, they're saying that he there was some illegality associated with a Build the Wall charity. He was hauled in yesterday. He was handcuffed. He had real handcuffs on, unlike AOC, in front of the Supreme Court. Donald Trump had pardoned him before anything came out. So if anything would have been discovered, and the president clearly didn't think there was any issue, and I don't either, but he got ahead of it and said, I pardon you. How can they go after him if he's already received a presidential pardon? And if this is the case, why can't they go after everybody that Obama and Clinton pardoned?
Rob, the interesting part of the taking of Bannon is not this like obscure legal maneuvering that the New York DA is going to try to do to put Steve in prison. It's the fact that if you go back to the 2016 election, the 2020 election, and now this upcoming 2022 election, 60 days before 2016, Steve Bannon came in, righted the Trump campaign ship, and he helped Trump win that election. 60 days out from the 2020 election, they arrested Steve and put him in handcuffs and charged him with contempt. And now 60 days out from this election, what they're trying to do, Rob, is not only take Trump off the table, but they want to take people like Steve Bannon and myself, as you know, I was put in leg irons, strip searched, put in the same cell as John Hinckley when he shot Ronald Reagan, all to bully and intimidate me by the FBI, which, by the way, is literally a field goal kick across the street from where I live. They know every FBI agent, former or present, has told me that in my case with a misdemeanor, nobody's ever been taken that way. And so they're out to get us. And you know, it's not paranoia if it's true. And that, like when they took Steve this second time, it's just I just people should be just outraged by this. And they a panty raid on Mar-a-Lago, what they did to me. It's like just This is why we have to take back Trump's America.
I swear to God.
This is it, Bob.
Now, I'm going to tell you also, Peter Navarro, and also the book is Taking Back Trump's America. I do believe the bud's off the rose on this. I think you notice that Joe Biden went on vacation the Monday. The first day of his vacation was the Monday that that the Mar-a-Lago was raided. He came back to sign this awful bill where he does essentially to the FBI to the IRS what he wants to do or what they did to Mar-a-Lago. They want to do that to you. That's why they did it. And they lied about it in the most Stalinesque fashion whatsoever. Then it all ended with this Hitlerian speech in front of a Constitution Hall bathed in communist red, where if you replace the word MAGA Republicans with Jews or Uyghurs, it would be epic. But honestly, do you feel that we're finally catching up with this Justice Department, and this will domino effect into all of the other crooked agencies of the federal government? Go ahead.
Rob, in many ways, that Biden speech, and I think the taking of Steve Bannon, was a Hail Mary, because
yes,
I think the Democrats know what's likely to come in November. I can't stress enough, though, that the people listening to this show, you need to not only get out and vote on Election Day in November, you also have to go out and find a candidate to embrace that's going to make a difference. Send them money, give them time. I'll give you some examples. At the governor's level, the troika of Kerry Lake in Arizona,
yes,
Tudor Dixon in Michigan, and Doug Mastriano in Pennsylvania. We run the table on that. They're all Trump endorsed. That's huge. Secretaries of State, Fincham in Arizona,
yeah,
Christina Corrala in Michigan. They're getting vastly outspent, but they're Trump endorsed. We need to get them. And then at the congressional level, find a race that's competitive,
yeah,
right? Don't waste your time and money on a Republican that's going to win in a walk,
yeah,
in a deep red district. Find a competitive race. When Steve got taken yesterday, I had to sit in and guest host on his show, and I interviewed this guy, Pete Hernandez, out in California, in Salinas County. He's running against Zoe Lofgren,
of
all people, in a Latino district.
Yeah.
And this guy can win.
Yeah.
He can win, but he's not getting the kind of love that he needs. So maybe your audience go look him up at the Pete Hernandez for Congress website.
Yeah.
Help him out. These are the kinds of things that can make a difference, because if we get back the investigatory powers of Congress, Republicans are not going to use them unconstitutionally. In January, we'll start handing out subpoenas and find out whether the FBI and the White House and the Department of Justice and the National Archives and Capitol Hill are actually colluding in all of this in terms of trying to frame Donald John Trump with another hoax. Remember, the FBI was the progenitor of the Russia hoax, which was designed as a preemptive coup in 2016 by Hillary Clinton to stop Trump from winning. And by the way, the FBI, we now discovered, actually was successful in a coup against Trump in 2020, because they forced Facebook and Twitter, didn't take much force, mind you, to suppress the Hunter Biden laptop from hell information, real information that exposed Joe Biden as the godfather of a crime family.
Yeah, and also, Peter, you mentioned that you just written a column about hydroxychloroquine, and I have never seen in my life, and I've been fighting this ever since. The March of 2020, I said that COVID was a hoax. I knew it was played up for 2020. I said 2020 happened because it was 2020. The cities burned in America because 2020, and they used COVID as a cudgel, as a way to control people, as a way to creeping authoritarianism. And why are there no memorials to the 1 million people who died in this country when in fact Joe Biden, before, I think he was maybe right after he was inaugurated, there were candles up and down the reflecting pool to pin deaths on Donald Trump. It's sickening. It's disgusting. But you wrote about hydroxychloroquine for the first time in history. And in California, they are literally telling doctors that they cannot stray from the prescribed doctrine of the health officials in California. They did it here. Tell us about your article this week on hydroxychloroquine.
Well, after looking at close to 500,000 patients in 51 countries a study in August concluded that, as I said back in February of 2020, at the dawn of the pandemic, hydroxychloroquine is not only safe, it dramatically reduces the mortality rate. In fact, the studies indicate, not suggest, they indicate that of the 1 million Americans who died from COVID, if they had simply been allowed to use hydroxychloroquine in the first 7 days of their infection, as many as 570,000 to 810,000 Americans would still be alive.
Wow.
In the Taking Back Trump's America book, there's a in-depth discussion about the deep administrative state, part of the bureaucracy, otherwise known as HHS and the CDC and Fauci's NIH. And these people hated Donald Trump more than wanted to save lives of the American people. And they loved Pfizer and the profits that Pfizer was going to make on the vaccine so much they didn't want cheap therapeutics. I mean, hydroxy, it's like $12 for a cycle.
Yeah.
It's like Pfizer's got this drug out, Paxlovid.
Yes.
I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, and it costs you $500.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I felt, when I was in the White House, when this started happening, I felt like I was in an alternative universe. I mean, how can these people, this drug, it's safe.
Yeah, I know.
And CDC prescribes it for pregnant women. How can you do this? And then it was all about not letting Trump win.
Yes, and also,
I mentioned to be held accountable.
Ivermectin was a horse dewormer, but if I'm not mistaken, Paxlovid was a horse an equine encephalitis drug. So one horse medicine was apparently fine, but you see, like hydroxy, it was kind of like in the public domain. It was worthless, essentially. And so big pharma couldn't make any money.
In the op-ed I did for the Washington Times, and God bless Kelly Sadler, the Washington Times, the op-ed, one of the op-ed editors, because they are bold. They'll print.
Peter, can we take a break? Can we take a break and come back and do one quick break before the end of the show? Would you mind?
Yeah, sure.
All right, hold on a second. A little bit more. We'll wrap things up with Peter Navarro in just 1 second. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It's time to make common sense common again. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Peter Navarro is on the phone with us. He's written this great new book, Taking Back Trump's America, Why We Lost the White House, How We'll Win It Back. Did you ever dream that you would be the on the receiving end of what really appears to, and I absolutely believe, a corrupt Department of Justice that would literally take the most sacred thing that a government can do, and that is law enforcement, and use it against innocent people?
Rob, not surprised or shocked in the slightest. You have to remember, I was only one of three senior White House officials who was with the boss all the way from the campaign to the end of what we like to call his first term. And as I write about in Taking Back Trump's America, one of the big losses was the loss of Mike Flynn in 2016. He got entrapped by the FBI as part of the Russia hoax.
Yeah.
And I knew from that day, and Flynn has already had to spend over $7 million defending himself.
Wow.
And then I watched how they extorted him by threatening to put his kid in prison. No, so I'm a big boy. I knew these people are capable of anything, and now they've shown it.
Yeah.
And but what they've done to me and Trump is really unprecedented here with this last salvo. I mean, I'm literally, in the history of our republic, the only senior White House advisor to ever been charged with contempt of Congress.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's like more than 50 years of Department of Justice policy that says that people like me shouldn't go to the Hill when they come calling with their subpoenas. Yeah. So that's like shocking. And then just on the face of it, and then the way they took me in the leg irons, and then the panty raid with automatic weapons down to Mar-a-Lago. Yeah,
do you think that, is there any way with the special master, which the DOJ wants to get rid of, which Merrick Garland wants to get rid of, is there any way that this special master, the judge, eventually says, we're going to throw out the whole damn search?
I have no idea. Okay. Yeah, I'm not versed in that kind of law.
Gotcha,
but
I
think what's important here in reading that decision was that judge had a much keener understanding of executive privilege, what it means, who can hold it. And one of the big issues that's, to me, I argued in my civil suit, is a fanciful and absurd notion that a sitting president like Biden could somehow strip Trump of his executive privilege and me of what's called absolute testimonial immunity.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like there's nothing in the law that supports that.
Yeah.
And if you literally allow that to happen, you invite the kind of political retaliation that we're getting.
Peter DeBar,
at the same time that you destroy executive privilege as we know it. And for those of you who understand executive privilege, it's a critical part.
Yeah, we got to break. We got to break. We got to break. I'm sorry, we're up against a hard break. DefendPeter.com. I hate to shut you off. DefendPeter.com. The book is called Taking Back Trump's America. Peter DeBarro, Godspeed. God bless. Have a glorious weekend. We'll be in touch again, I hope.
All right, my brother Rob. Right. You take care.
All right, let's take a break. It's Rob Carson Show. All right, that's going to do it for the show, guys. Peter DeBarro's book is available on Amazon, Taking Back Trump's America. Have a glorious weekend. Watch the TV show, Will You Rob Carson's What in the World on Newsmax. And the podcast, the Rob Carson Show podcast, best of, is tomorrow, newsmaxtv.com/podcast. God bless you and your family. And until Monday, do not catch the stupid. I'll see you then.
Traffic is jammed on northbound.